Your first scripture you're going to turn to is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. There are certain passages in the Bible that most of us who have been raised in church, we've heard them so much. We've heard them since Sunday school. We heard it in VBS. We've heard it all our lives as an adult, that you tend to start to overlook them. We start to think we know everything about those certain passages. And if you're not careful, you start to get to where you don't want to listen to those passages. You only want to go to church if the pastor preaches on something that is new, something you've never heard before. And that's cool, that's fine, but let me tell you, I went to a lot of churches. I've worked in a lot of churches before this one. And I worked in some churches where everything had to be a fresh word. Everything had to be a new revelation. And every evangelist would come in and tell us something we had never heard before. And about 8 times out of 10, that's because it wasn't biblical. That's why we hadn't heard it before. You can get this desire for a fresh word and a new word so much that you overlook some of the most important passages of the Bible that we have listened to and studied from the time as a little child. And the Ten Commandments, we're doing a new series called Ten. We're counting down from 10 to 1 in the Ten Commandments. It's one of those passages that I think people, if I said, hey, we're preaching on the Ten Commandments, then some people would go, I'll go to another church where they're going to teach on something more relevant, more practical, something I haven't heard before. And I just need to remind you how important these Ten Commandments are. Here's what was happening. God had created Adam and Eve. He gave them the choice to let him be God or for them to be their own gods. They chose, as we have every day of our lives, to be our own gods. That same sin. We all ate the apple. And then mankind quickly just became so bad. God basically said, I'm going to destroy everything with a flood. But he remembered Noah. And Noah and his family were rescued miraculously, right? Now the people of God still begin to just wander away. And the Bible basically says they were unfaithful to God more and more, to the point that they became totally in slavery and in bondage to the people of Egypt. Total persecution. The people of God were basically not even existent, just as slaves. And here God miraculously, you know the story of the plagues, God miraculously now delivers them. They are saved from bondage. They are saved from slavery. And one of the first things he does, now remember we said this last week, he didn't save them from slavery and say, wow, I saved you, go have fun. I saved you from slavery and bondage. Now here's the world, oh, just go figure it out yourself. That's not what he said. He said, okay, now that I've saved you, can we just back up? Can we just refocus? Can we realign ourselves again? And what he gave them was the Ten Commandments, basically to say, can we just get ourselves refocused on who God is, realigned with his mind, his will, his ways, and now give a new foundation? It really wasn't new, but let's start over with a foundation. Well, can I say that's what we need to do regularly? I'm a big believer that every church ought to teach through the book of Genesis, verse by verse, at least once, because that's the foundation of everything. And the Ten Commandments are like that as well. If you are saved today, then I'm telling you, we need right now to do some realigning and some refocusing of our minds and our hearts. He has saved us. But some of us as Christians sometimes act like he saved us. Cool. Now we can just go do whatever we want. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, let's just go have fun. And basically, I want to get us back where you're saved, but let's look at the Ten Commandments one by one and refocus ourselves. These are crazy times. These are crazy times, and I fear that the Church of Jesus Christ needs a realignment. Anybody ever driven a car where the tires were not aligned? And it gets all bumpy, and it's swerving this way and swerving that way. It sounds like the church to me. It sounds like Christians to me. And so I just want to do a little realignment. Last week I gave you some immunization shots. This week I want to give you a realignment of your tires so that we can get ourselves right back on the path. The Ten Commandments, these aren't don'ts. It's not, I know the phrase, thou shalt not. So I think sometimes as kids and as adults, we try to stay away from the Ten Commandments because it's don't do this and don't do that. But it's more of a, here's how we can worship. Remember last week we said these are worship issues. We have a worship sickness. And the Ten Commandments help us with our worship sickness. We're going from 10 to 1. Last week, we talked about greed. This week, we're going to look at number 9. Let's read this. Exodus 20, 16. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. Well, I'm kind of using the Message paraphrase to put it in more modern day English. Here's what it says in the Message Bible. No lies about your neighbor. Or, if you'd rather, here's how I put it. Tell the truth. Just tell the truth. And so we're going to talk today about not lying, not giving false witness, but telling the truth. I would guess, if I ask people to list the Ten Commandments in the order of importance, which is not even a biblical thing to do, because they're all equally important. But if I listed them in importance in the culture today, I would imagine this one might not be high on the list. Oh, thou shalt not murder. Yeah, we're okay with that one, Pastor Dave. But that lying thing, you know, everybody lies. This one might be a little further down, one of the little S sins. So I want to talk about where this comes from. Where does this lying come from? Because it's in you, it's in me. We all, at some time in our life, have lied. I imagine one of the first lies we have ever told was when our mom looked at us and said, "Did you poo-poo in your diaper?" No. When all the evidence seems to point to yes. Where does this come from? Why do we have this inclination to lie? I wanted to find the foundation of it. Does evolution explain where lying comes from? I don't think it does. By the way, evolution is crashing, folks. There was another article this week, and I posted on Facebook. Evolution is falling apart at the seams. Does that mean that they're going to turn to the account of creation? No. You just wait. Probably in my lifetime, they will come up with some other theory of origin that discounts God altogether, and they will say, well, evolution got us here, but evolution, it's falling apart. Does evolution explain where lying comes from? No, I don't think it does. But the Bible does. The Bible tells us where it comes from. So let's look at Genesis. In the beginning back here, Genesis at chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, and here it is, a lie. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Well, she caught it. She said, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. The woman replied, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. I can tell you where lies come from. They come from our enemy. They come from Satan. Lying comes from Satan. I can even tell you this. John 8:44 tells me, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So I can tell you where lying comes from. It comes from Satan. He is the father of lies. Do you know that saying people come to you? I don't know if they even say it anymore, but we used to say it. Who's your daddy? Well, when you are lying, you're showing. Who's your daddy? Because he is the father of all lies. God, however, I want you to know God is not just truthful. He's not just truth-telling. God is truth. It's part of his character. God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man, so he does not lie. Hebrews 6:18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. He is truth. Now, I want you to just step back. Churchy people, those of you that have been Christians for a long time, sometimes we need to step back and just challenge our faith a little bit. Don't get so comfortable that you never question. Challenge your faith sometimes. And I try to ask us questions like this. What if God, this is the God that we worship, He's our God. What if God told the truth most of the time? What if the God that I serve told the truth part of the time? What if I never really knew? What if I wasn't sure? What if it was part of the character of God that sometimes He tells the truth, sometimes He doesn't tell the truth? Well, what part of the Word of God would you trust? What part of the Word of God would you believe? The parts you like. And that's exactly what people do. This is what people do with the Bible. It's the Word of God, but we're going to say, oh, well, this part He really meant because I really like that part. I don't have an issue in that area, so yeah. Oh, but this part over here, like last week when I preached on greed, I don't know about that. I'm sure God was a capitalist. I'm absolutely sure. Some of the parts we don't like so much. Oh, I'm not sure if God really meant that. In fact, He probably didn't really mean that. At least not for today. And we start to pick and choose. God's telling the truth here. God's not telling the truth over here. What if Jesus wasn't just a truth teller? What if He was just a truth teller? Well, most of the time. Some of the time. Would that change how you view Jesus Christ? Well, it probably would. It would me. What if He was not this? John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, He will give you another advocate. He will never leave you. That is not the right verse, and that is my fault. I put it in wrong for the guys back in the back. Where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father. He says, I am the truth. So what if God didn't always tell the truth? What if Jesus wasn't the truth? What if your pastor told the truth some of the time? Why would you go to that church? When I'm up here preaching, I'm the type of person, I'm inclined to not trust someone if I find it's part of their character to lie. Well, I'm going to have a hard time believing anything. If it's part of their character to not tell me the truth all the time, I'm going to have a hard time. That's why it's important for us to know this thing called faith in God. It does not work unless God is truth. This faith in Jesus Christ, it falls apart unless Jesus is truth. I've got nothing to stand on unless the Word of God really is truth. And I believe all three of those things. God is truth, Jesus is truth, and the Word of God is truth. But let me get down to real life now, because that's faith stuff. That's stuff up here we can believe. But you and I know life's messy. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that a lot of things in this world are not black and white. A lot of things in this life... the answers are found somewhere in the gray area. And so I understand that sometimes there's not an absolute true, absolute false. Sometimes there's this area where we have to kind of discuss and we have to work our way through. But in this area, when it comes to this topic, God is the father of truth. Satan is the father of lies. When I tell the truth, I show the world who my Father is. When I tell a lie, I'm showing the world who my Father is at that moment. Lying's a big deal. And I feel like sometimes we make it a big deal for 8-year-olds. It's kind of a big deal when you're 18. And then by 28, it's not so much a big deal anymore. And by 38, 48, 58, yeah, everybody lies. Lying's a big deal at 8 and 88. We used to teach Andrew. Andrew's away at college now, but we would tell Andrew we would tell him something was wrong when he was 8 years old, but we would explain to him, now, Andrew, this is not just wrong because you're 8. This is wrong for me too. And when I made it clear that it wasn't just wrong for an 8-year-old, but it was wrong for an adult, Parents, I think that's a big deal, because here's what happened. If you teach them something's wrong, it's wrong for you at 8, but then they see you doing it, it's okay for you at 38. Then they know eventually that won't be wrong anymore. If something's wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong at 8, it's wrong at 88. Lying's wrong at 8, lying's wrong at 88. It's a big deal. It actually made the Big Ten. It's number 9. It's in the list. Do you know that it's actually on the list of things that God hates? Do you know there's a list of things that God hates? And it's not even really an exhaustive list. It's Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. There are 6 things the Lord hates. No, 7 things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness, it even made the list twice, who pours out lies, a person who shows discord in a family, things that he hates. And so these are things we have to deal with this in our own heart this morning. Are we someone who lies? Well, let me just relieve you here, because lying's in us. Just like I taught last week, greed comes from within us. It's in our sinful nature. I can't take it out of you. I can't pray it out of you. So that desire to lie, it's there. It's in your sinful nature. That's why that baby said he didn't go poo-poo in his diaper. It's just in the sinful nature. It's there. So we have to deal with it. You know, you have second nature and first nature. People say sometimes, well, it's just my second nature. Yeah, you're right. It's your second nature to sin, because your first nature was godly. You were created in the image of God. So my first nature is a godly nature, but my second nature, that's a sinful nature that comes from my, I actually inherited it. It was part of the bundle. It was a bundle package that came with the sinful nature deal from our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve. Lying is in us. So why do people lie? I know where it comes from now. It comes from Satan. Why do people lie? I had to ask myself that question. And here's what I came up with. Are you ready? Here's why people lie. Because it works. We've learned that. We learned that at an early age, that lying actually works sometimes. I'd love to tell you otherwise. I'd love to tell you that what your parents told you, liar, liar, pants on fire, that your pants will actually catch on fire. I would love to tell you that really happened. I'd love to tell you that every time you lie, because this is what we're told too, every time you lie, it's going to come back on you, and you'll have to tell more lies, and you'll eventually get caught. But you know what? Sometimes you don't. We're just an honest church here, okay? Sometimes it actually works. It works in relationships. Sometimes people don't tell the absolute truth about themselves when they're trying to win someone over. Sometimes people don't tell the truth about themselves when they're trying not to lose somebody. It can work in relationships. It can work at work. You don't actually tell the real truth about what you were doing all day, or how much work you really put into the project. You want to get that promotion. You want to beat the competition. You want to succeed. Lying works in advertising. In fact, they depend on it. They don't want to tell you the truth about their product. They want to do anything they can to kind of fudge a little bit here and there to make you, like last week, covet that product. Lying works in advertising. Lying doesn't just work in politics. Lying is politics. They're not telling you the truth. And here's what they do in politics. It's not just an election year. It's all the time. What they do in politics is they'll throw out a lie. They know it's a lie. But the media will report it for 5, 6, 7 days. Finally, someone will prove it was a complete lie. The media won't tell you that part. And everybody goes on believing what was a lie in the first place. It works. Lying works in church. You know, all I've ever done in my adult life is work in church. And so I know some of you think, that just must be heaven. Sometimes. But sometimes we get so caught up into church growth and trying to beat the competition, just like the world does. And we start acting like the world. And we start to lie. We lie a lot about numbers in church. It's a big deal to kind of exaggerate the numbers that go to your church, because if you're bigger, you're better. And so you need to exaggerate the numbers. I heard it said at one pastor's conference, when someone asks you how many people go to your church, and the guy was serious, this wasn't a joke. When someone asks you how many people go to your church, take your largest Easter Sunday, add 10%, and tell them that. Well, that's a lie. Someone asked me how many people come to this church. I think it's part of the problem sometimes, is I'm honest. I probably would have had this building refinanced by now if I had not been telling the truth. If I had exaggerated a little bit, I might already have a bank loan to refinance this building. People lie in church. Why? Because it works. We're all tempted to lie, and we know it works sometimes. And so, what I want to do now, I know where it comes from. I know why we do it. I got to give us some motivation to not do it. I got to give us some motivation so that when we leave here, we are now truth tellers, that we want to tell the truth in relationships, at work, at home, in church, everywhere, that we are known for people who tell the truth. As a Christian, I'm just going to talk as a Christian. I'm just being open today. This is honest. Not like every week's not, but this is honest. As a Christian, the hardest part is not the hearing part. I hear the truth. I like that. The hard part's the doing it. As a pastor, one of the hardest things as a pastor is to know that you're putting out truth, to know that the truth is going out. And you see people hearing, and you see people just not doing. The hardest part as a Christian is a pastor. Well, it's this. James 1:22 tells me, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. I have to hear it, but I got to do it, or it's just church. Y'all, it's just Sunday morning church if we don't do it on Monday. And Sunday morning church doesn't cut it. It's got to be Monday. It's got to be Tuesday. Otherwise, we're like Paul, Romans 7:21. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. So this hard part now, I'm doing this for myself and for you. Let's motivate ourselves now to be truth tellers. Here's one big reason. Here we go. Because God, He expects it. He just expects it out of us. He is truth. Satan is the father of lies. We already looked at it. God hates lying. He hates lying. So it's the right thing to do. Now, some of you, this is going to be motivational for you. For some of you, just the fact that it's the right thing to do, and because it's the right thing to do, I'm going to do it, that's going to be the motivation, because you're a positive motivation kind of person. I'll get to those of you that are negative motivated later. But some of you, it's the right thing to do. And you know what? I got young people in here today. It's the right thing to do, even if no one else is doing it. The right thing to do is the right thing to do, even if you're the only one. Now, that was drilled into my head, so I got that young, and I had no problem with that. I had no problem being the only one in a group, and everyone's making fun of me because I thought it was the right thing to do, so I'm just going to do it. Are we that way at work? Are we that way? I mean, some of us are in our elder years. Are we that way just in our communities? Are we the type of person that's the right thing to do? We're just going to do it anyway. Even if someone else is getting all this gain and glory from lying, even if someone else is kind of passing us up because they're lying, they're getting what I want, and they're not telling the truth. They got the promotion, Pastor David. That's not right. I know. Do what's right anyway. I used to quote the great theologian Martina McBride, do it anyway. But it really comes from Mother Teresa, who is now Saint Teresa. She's the one who actually said, when it's the right thing to do, you just do it anyway, even if persecution comes, even if you're the only one. You do it anyway. I want to talk just for a minute just about the kind of lies, though, that we tell. The flat-out lie, which I shouldn't have to even spend much time on. It's just, we know that's wrong. We know we're lying, and we just lie. That is wrong. It's a sin. It's in the Big Ten. Don't lie. But how about a half lie? How about a partial truth? How about just a little white lie? Which you know as well as I know. You should know. And if you don't know, here you go. There's no such thing as a half lie or a half truth. If there's a little bit of lie in there, it's all a lie. The truth is gone. The truth is pure. It's pure. So when you add just a little bit of lie in there, it's not the truth anymore. It's a lie. If you take away some of the truth, it's not what? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So it's no longer really the truth. And so I can water down the truth by adding, by taking away, but then it's not the truth anymore. It's a lie now. Did you see what Satan said in the garden? Did he lie? Well, he kind of told the truth. He got real close to the truth. The first lie in the Bible. Did God really say you couldn't eat from any of the trees in the garden? Well, that was really close to the truth. And Eve caught it. No. He only said we couldn't eat from one tree. But that is Satan. And that's a full-out lie. And sometimes we go into these half-truths and these partial truths. And it's not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's one way we lie, half-truths. But there's some other ways. Boasting. This is real practical stuff. I'm going to tell a story, but I'm going to kind of boast. I'm going to make myself seem a little better by telling the story a little bit better. Give myself a little more glory. People get caught doing that in the public eye, but it goes on all the time. How about just exaggeration? Let me just challenge you. I know this is legalistic sounding, but exaggeration is lying. And if you have to exaggerate something to make your story more interesting, then it's not interesting. If you have to exaggerate something to make your point, then you don't have a very strong point. I would say, just don't. If I've told you 1,000 times, don't exaggerate. Just don't. That's a joke. Don't exaggerate your adding to the story. What about this? What about gossip? Well, so-and-so told me, did you hear so-and-so? And they told me this, and she told me this, and then I heard third hand from the fourth hand person that so-and-so told me this, and just don't. Gossip just lends to lying. Remember those old Superman shows, not the new ones. I don't know what happens with Superman and Batman and all that mess, but back when Superman was really Superman, and he'd get on the train track, and the lady'd be whatever, she can't get off the train track, and here comes the train, and Superman says, "I'll save you," and the train's coming down the track, and he just stands there, and he puts out his hand, and that train full speed just hits them and crumples, and he's safe, and the lady's safe. I pray for the people on the train. I don't know what happened to them, but he stops the train completely. Do you ever wonder about them? That's how gossip should be when it hits you. It just stops. Gossip does not pass you. It hits you. It stops. If they want that rumor to go on, they're going to have to go to somebody else, because you are not going to go down that road of gossip. This one kind of hit me. Sometimes you're just the one going along with the crowd. There's a lie buzzing around, and you're just kind of going along with it. You're not saying it, but you're not correcting it. You're not doing anything. You're just kind of letting it go. I learned from that theological show, Law and Order. I learned that you are complicit if you stay silent, but you know something's wrong. You can still be charged with a crime. Watch this. This is interesting. Exodus 23, 1 and 2. You must not pass along false rumors. You must not cooperate with evil people by lying on the witness stand. You must not follow the crowd and doing wrong. When you are called to testify in a dispute, do not be swayed by the crowd to twist justice. Again, if the whole crowd is going along with a lie, you can say, no, that's not true. Now, here's what might happen. Truth comes with consequences, and there will be consequences. I'm challenging you not to lie. I'm challenging you not to half lie. I'm challenging you not to boast, not to exaggerate, not to gossip, not to go along with the crowd. Now, I got to tell you, there's going to be consequences. you might get unfriended. They unfriended me. You might get unfriended not just on social media, but in real life. You might have a relationship end. You might not get the promotion. There may be consequences to telling the truth. But if I'm going to live according to the Bible and the Word of God, it says, don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Tell the truth. You know, if you tell the truth, sometimes you think, well, I'm not really hurting anybody with this lie. I'm not really affecting anybody. This verse jumped out at me. Proverbs 25:18. Watch this. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. When you lie about somebody, you are committing spiritual assault and battery. You are harming them in ways you probably don't even realize, you don't even know. And so it's not just it's just an innocent lie. One lie. Do you know if you lie one lie about someone, it could do harm in their life. It could change their life. It could affect their future. It could affect their relationships. Just because one lie didn't stop when it hit you, you kept letting it go on. And it might come back to bite you. It might come back and ruin your life, but in any way, you are still shooting arrows at other people and harming them. So I'm trying to give us motivation here to tell the truth. I'm trying to get us this morning to not let this just be a sermon. Y'all thought that was about 50 pounds, didn't you? That's just foam. It's incredible. It looks like bronze, but it's just foam. I'm trying to get you to just listen, hear the word this morning, and tell the truth. How about this one? We love to be in God's presence. Psalm 15:1-3. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors, or speak evil of their friends. Those are the ones who can be in the presence of God. I can go even further than that. How about eternity? Revelation 21:8. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of the burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, I want to be clear. No, I am not saying liars go to hell. If you lie, you're going to burn in hell. So let's just be very clear about what that verse is saying, what these verses are saying. There's one way to go to heaven. One way. It's not by being good. It's not by doing good. It's not by joining a church. It's not about acting like a Christian, living by Christian principles. None of those things get you to heaven at all. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the cross of Jesus Christ. We admit that we're sinners. It just meant that you've done something. You knew something was wrong and you did it anyway. Welcome to the Sinners Club. We're all sinners. We come to the cross of Jesus Christ as sinners. We receive him as our Savior. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. And we say, Jesus, you are Lord. I believe in you. That's the one way, the only way to get to heaven. Can I tell you there's only one way to go to hell? Only one way. I grew up in church where there was one way to get to heaven, but there were 1,000 to go to hell, man. Just depending on who you were talking to. All kind of things that would send you to hell. There's one way. Only one thing will send you to hell. Rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I go to heaven. I reject Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I go to hell. So lying doesn't send you to hell. And some of you are going, whew. Because sometimes people ask me that. Well, Pastor, that won't send me to hell, will it? No, but neither will murder. And I don't recommend that one. We have these list of sins out there. You know, this one will send you to hell. This one. No, only one sin sends you to hell. That's rejecting Jesus Christ. But these passages are saying, if I walk down this path of lying, gossip, hate, murder, adultery, even if I claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, as I walk down that road, it's going to lead me to the place. It's just going to happen where you say, you know what? I don't even believe in Jesus anymore. Or you decide, well, I just believe in a different kind of Jesus. Or I believe in a different kind of God. Okay, well, now you've crossed the line. Now you're saying I'm rejecting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So what, does lying send you to hell? No, but it sure is on the road. Just like all those other things that gets you to that point. Now, just a few practical applications, then I'm going to let you go. I'm very practical message this morning. Here's one thing, because some of you will say, well, I tell the truth all the time, Pastor David. I love to tell the truth. I tell the truth every time I see somebody. You know these kind of people? Oh, they needed to hear it. You're not telling the truth. You're just rude. You're mean. You're spiteful. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to tell you, okay, you might think that's the truth, but just be quiet. And you will ignore the Holy Spirit and you'll just blab out the truth and you're hurting people. No, he said, if we're going to tell the truth, we need to tell it in love. And I don't mean that whole, I just told them in love that they just needed to. I'm saying really God's love, the Holy Spirit. And if you're not 100% sure that it's God's love, just don't say it. If you're not sure, don't say it. Just keep quiet. Lastly here, I'm going to help some of you. I'm going to help you sleep better. Although some of you have been sleeping real good the last 30 minutes. But I'm going to help you just elbow somebody if that was them. I'm going to help you sleep better at night. Because people who lie shouldn't sleep well. Now, if you lie all the time and you sleep really well, you need to come to the altar when this sermon's over. You need to get your life right because you shouldn't sleep well because the Holy Spirit is going to be constantly convicting you. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. You're lying. You know you're lying. And when the Holy Spirit's convicting a believer, we don't sleep well. People who tell the truth, people who say, you know what, I'm not living in lies, I'm speaking truth, you sleep better. You have inner peace better than those who are telling lies. And so I wrap this all up. I'm trying to give you a very practical message today. We know where lying comes from. Satan is the father of lies, and so we know where it comes from. I know why I lie, because it actually works in this world. But I know I shouldn't lie because it's the right thing to do to tell the truth. I know now that the Bible tells me it's hurting people. It's harming people. It's harming me. The Bible tells me don't lie. Don't gossip. Don't bear false witness. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth. It's not a small sin. When we go through these Ten Commandments, there's no small ones. They're all major issues in our life. So last week we said, you know what? I don't want God to see me as a greedy person. I want to give more. I don't want to love money. This week we want to pray and say, God, forgive me for not telling the truth, for lying. And then make this effort to hear the Holy Spirit, to not just hear this word this morning, but to actually go do it and live as people who tell the truth. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for these commandments that realign our lives, that refocus our lives. And God, I pray for us because in this world today, it almost rewards lying. God, help us to be children of God. Help us to refocus and see, I want to be known as a real believer. I want to be known as a truth teller. I want it to be obvious that God is my Father and God is truth and Jesus is truth and the Word of God is truth. Help us to have that desire. Holy Spirit, we don't hate your conviction. We want you to convict us when we're telling a lie. When we're about to tell a lie, Holy Spirit, convict us. Help us to be truth tellers. I explained today how to receive Jesus Christ, how to be saved, and maybe you thought going to church more would help you, but it's not church, it's Jesus. And so you come to Jesus Christ. You come to the cross and you just confess your sin, or you say you believe what the Bible teaches about Jesus. You believe by faith. And you receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you are saved today. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ today, pray this prayer with me. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Just want you to pray this prayer. Believe it in your heart. You will be saved today. Just pray, God, I believe in you. I believe you are real. And I believe you love me. I believe in Jesus, that he is God the Son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in faith today, I choose to believe. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. God, forgive me of all I've done. I'm sorry for what I've done. Holy Spirit, live in me. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. I thank you, God, for my salvation. In Jesus' name.